If you have pencil and paper, you're going to need it, maybe, at the end, depending on how you answer the questions. So just letting you know, if you give you a chance, if you need me for me to pause, you can go to the store and get some paper and pencil. I can wait. Or you can borrow some from your neighbor, or whatever the case may be. Okay? I was thinking about Pastor's message this morning, and I told him afterwards, I said, that was a message for disciples. A person who is just a warm body in the church, a person who is just this, I come to church on Sunday, check off the box, that message was not for that person. That message was for the person who wants more of Jesus. And I really loved it. Let me pause. I'm supposed to do announcements before I get started, right? Do you all remember Johnny Carson?
Yeah.
The folding party. I think only thing that's left downstairs is they just need to be stamped. It's done. Okay, I won't do that, Pastor. Yep. I was thinking, as I said, Pastor's message this morning is for folks who are really wanting to press in and find out what Jesus has for them more and more and more. And the thing that impressed me as he was going through those verses, it's all the things that were past tense. Past tense. And I thought about the thing that the enemy of the soul wants us to believe is that those things are still present in us. That is past tense. That's who we used to be. We don't live there anymore. We don't live there anymore. And I thought the message was a nice way for me to get into my message tonight, because I have titled my message, A Church in Trouble. A Church in Trouble. According to a Pew Research Center, and I'm going to pick this up so I can see it better, survey on the fundamentals of the Christian faith, 46% of Protestants said faith alone is needed to get into heaven. 46% of Protestants said faith alone is needed to get into heaven. So that means that there are 54% of people who profess to be Christians, who profess to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who don't believe that. Okay? A little more than 52% said both good deeds and faith are needed. Both good deeds and faith are needed. Only 66% of those surveyed said the Bible is the... Only 46% of those surveyed said the Bible is the sole source of religious authority for Christians. 46% say that this book is the sole source of authority for living a Christian life. And we know that Jesus says that his words are spirit and his words are life. So this book of life is only viewed by 46% of the people who profess to be Christians as the sole authority. Okay? What's astounding to me is this. It really helps us understand why the body of Christ is where it is right now. It really helps us understand that. Okay? However, 52% said Christians should look both to the Bible and to the church's official teachings and traditions for guidance. I have a question. What if the church's official teachings and guidance are not in agreement with the Bible? Is that a problem? Abso-stinking-lutely. Only 30% believe faith in God alone is needed for salvation. 30%. And we're talking about folks who profess to be Christians, okay? Keep that in mind. Everything I'm talking about right now are folks who profess to be Christians. Okay? 30% believe faith in God alone is needed for salvation and that the Bible provides all the guidance Christians need. However, only 18% believe faith in God alone is needed to get into heaven, but not that the Bible is the sole source of guidance. 18% believe that that faith in God alone is needed to get into heaven, but not that the Bible is the sole source for guidance. Another 17% believe faith in God alone, but the Bible is the sole source for guidance. Another 17% don't believe faith in God alone, but they do believe the Bible is the sole source for guidance. Is something wrong with that? It's something. How many of you, I can see probably about five or six of us are old enough to remember Lost in Space, the original Lost in Space. You remember the robot? Danger, danger, Will Robinson, danger, danger. This is it. This is it, okay? Red lights flashing, alarms blaring. Man, turn to Jude chapter 1. And as you turn to Jude chapter 1, if you find a chapter 2, holler. Jude chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." What is the common salvation? It's the salvation that is the same no matter who you are. When you come to Jesus, you can be a Muslim, a Hindu, you can be someone who doesn't know Jesus at all, but it's the common salvation because you're all coming into Jesus, okay? So the common salvation, "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith." That's where the body of Christ is falling short. Contending for the faith. How do you know that, Brother Barry? Christians who don't believe what God believes are not contending for the faith. If you don't believe what God believes, you're not contending for the faith. If you don't believe what God believes, I got another message for you. You are not going to have a lot of faith. Are you following me? The author of this book has given us what we need to have faith in this life, okay? If we don't believe what he has given us, then we are not going to have faith. Pastor was talking about doctrinal error this morning, and it reminded me of something that the Lord shared with me on the 10th when he was ministering. The Lord says that where you have error in your doctrine, you have no faith. Where you have error, E-R-R-O-R, sometimes I don't pronounce things the way I should, you will not have faith, okay? And it also made me think about something that Jamie said when she was ministering, because her focus was, what are you doing in your life? If God would look at what you are doing in your life, would he say that you are more interested in him, I know I'm paraphrasing Jamie, than you are in what you're doing. And so I got to thinking about a verse we're very familiar with. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they agree? Can two walk together except they agree? That word agree means, among other things, make an appointment. To make an appointment. Okay? Can two walk together unless they make an appointment? So, if God is the one who's asking the question, is God telling us that we need to make an appointment with him so we can be on the same page as he is on? Can I get a witness? What do we call that? Spending time with him. That's what we call that. Our appointment is to spend time with him, okay? What Scripture says, in turn with Jeremiah chapter 2, what Scripture says about the children of Israel would apply to so many in the body of Christ today. In Jeremiah chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 13. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For my people have committed two evils." Two evils. They didn't just commit one. They were on a roll. They committed two. Okay? "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns that can hold no water." So not only have they forsaken the fountain of living waters, they have put in waters that they like into a cistern. Okay? What I want to point out in this, it says, they have forsaken. In other words, they've heard the living waters, and they have rejected the living waters. There are so many in the church today, ladies and gentlemen. This Bible is living water, and as part of this example. And they are rejecting it. Okay? And we know in Peter, it says, where does judgment begin? Right here. Right here. You want to know why the United States is in the condition it is in right now? The church. It's the church's fault. The church no longer has a backbone. The church no longer has a backbone. But praise God. There's still a chance. There's still an opportunity. My people have committed two evils. And the first evil that they commit, ladies and gentlemen, they rejected the word. That was the first evil that they committed. They rejected the word. And then not only did they reject the word, they decided this is the word I am going to follow. When they developed cisterns that were broken that can hold no water. Okay? We see something similar in Hosea. Again, these are passages you are familiar with. Chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. I know it's somewhere in here because I was able to find it. Hosea chapter 4. Again, this is how the body of Christ is mirroring the children of Israel. In Hosea chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what, Brother Barry? Wikipedia. A lack of knowledge from Wikipedia. A lack of knowledge from Facebook. Social media. No. No. Go back up to verse 1. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord." So what are they being destroyed because of? They are not hearing the word of the Lord. "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy." He's got an issue with you, okay? "With the inhabitants of the land, because what? There is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God in the land." Okay? Now, if there's no truth, no knowledge of God in the land, then when you get down to verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It's not really that there's no knowledge or truth in the land. It's that there's no knowledge or truth being followed that's in the land. Because he says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Because thou hast rejected knowledge, guess what? I will reject thee. If you are rejecting my knowledge, you are forcing my hand. I have no choice. You are forcing my hand, okay, to reject you. Which raises an interesting question, ladies and gentlemen. If we are rejecting God, if we are not playing by the principles, the truths that He has set up in the Bible, when we pray, what is the chance that that prayer might not get answered? I would say it's a pretty good chance. Because you are saying, God, I don't need you for anything else. I'm not going to agree with you for anything else, but I want you to answer my prayer. You know, we live here in Ohio, but I have some land in Florida. Still above water. Sell it to you real cheap. That's the kind of attitude we have in the body of Christ. We can live our lives the way we want to live our lives, but God is still going to answer our prayers. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Okay? When we're born again, we are made kings and priests. Kings and priests. Because we see here in Hosea that those in leadership are rejecting his word. So we are made kings and priests. And we see that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. We have now an even greater responsibility to respond to God the way he wants us to respond to him. The folks in the Old Testament, they had sort of an out. They had a sin nature. They had a state. It was more difficult for them to make the decision to follow God than for us. We have God's life and nature on the inside of us, who have accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We have an even greater responsibility for being in line with God, doing what he wants us to do, and agreeing with him. So, my question, ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that God may have an issue with some of his priests and kings today? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. As priests unto God, we are to seek to know him and to know and understand the fullness of the unvarnished truth that most of society condemns and rejects. Most of society condemns and rejects. I don't remember if it was Brother Dave, Pastor Dave, or Brother Gary, or it may have even been Pastor. He said that if you are going to live the life of a Christian and really live the life of a Christian, being in direct harmony with God, agreeing with God across the board, you're going to need rhino hide. You're going to need rhino hide because there are folks who are going to be attacking you right and left. And that was part of the prophecy that we got this morning, that we are both. If we are going to stand firm for God and his word, we are going to be attacked. Write it down. Thus saith the Lord on November 24th, 2024, 11:15 a.m., give or take. Okay? Our role is to partner with God by growing in our knowledge and understanding of the truth found in his word. We must be firmly grounded in right doctrine before we can begin to share with others. And we see the critical importance of right doctrine in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 14. It says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by every, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We have to know doctrine. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9, 10, and 11. Okay? And later in the chapter, we see the consequences of living by wrong doctrine. Look at verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. It's a choice we have to make. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them. Being alienated from the life of God. You have the life of God, but you are alienating yourself by how you are walking. Because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Jesus Christ. That is not what we have learned from Christ, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a pretty picture. If we live in wrong doctrine long enough, we will revert to the life we lived before being born again. I feel like I'm just kind of going over some of the same principles and truths the pastor shared this morning. Because he also, in his way, he said the same thing. But I thank God for verse 20. We have not so learned in Christ. Everything we read in Ephesians from this point over can be summarized in two verses. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 15 and 16. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation in all manner of life, all manner of behavior. Because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Pastor, I apologize for thinking about, not don't apologize, but again, he said this morning, we have within us the ability that if we don't, we'd have the ability not to drink a single drop of alcohol. He said that because holy is he that is in you, then he that says, be ye holy for I am holy. Okay? So we have that ability not to drink a single drop of alcohol. Okay? We have the ability, because we now have the new life living inside of us, never to watch one single item, picture of pornography. Because of the life that now lives in us. Okay? Now, Brother Barry, why are you making such a big deal out of this stuff? Very simple. If you are willing to say that God's word is not the truth in one area, then God's word will eventually not be the truth for you in other areas. Okay? Very simple. Very simple. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, we're close. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. We keep talking about revival. Okay? We keep talking about revival. But if we don't sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, guess who is going to be on the sidelines during revival? The person who is not doing this verse. Okay? You know, it reminds me of Peter's first response to the religious leaders. Look at Acts chapter 4. He was ready to give an answer for what he believed. In Acts chapter 4, look at verse 20. I love this verse. Peter says, well, let's go back up just a tad. Verse 18, and they, the religious leaders, called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? Judge ye. Judge ye. But then Peter says, but this is where we stand. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's all you're going to get to us. It is written. That's what you're going to get from us. It is written. Okay? Look at John. And then the second time they wanted to have a tussle with him, look at chapter 5 and in verse 29. It says, then Peter said, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought, let me go back up to verse 27. Peter and the other apostles were in a place where they were not supposed to be. They were commanded not to. And when they had brought them to the religious leader, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? What name? The name of Jesus. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the majority of the church today. That is not the majority of the church today. We know what the Bible says about sin, and we know that many Christians don't see eye to eye with Scripture. But we must speak the truth to them in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What does it mean, ladies and gentlemen, to speak the truth in love? Whatever God says, you say. When you speak the truth in love, that doesn't mean that the person's going to be happy with you. It doesn't mean that the person is going to give you a great big hug and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. No. But see, you speak the truth in love because what you are trying to do is to get the person to get his or her life lined up with God and get saved. That's what speaking the truth in love is all about. The peer research results show us that the fundamentals are being sacrificed. And I know it only presents a general view of the body of Christ in two areas, but it wouldn't surprise me one single bit if there were more. However, I do believe that the information presents us with an opportunity. Say opportunity. Opportunity. To take a step back and think about what we're doing in our lives to mature spiritually. Another way of saying the three questions that Jamie asked us when she ministered the Sunday night that she did. Okay? So here's my question to you. When was the last time you tested your knowledge and understanding? For example, if someone were to ask you the following questions, would you be able to support your answers with Scripture? Now, this is where I want you to take out the piece of paper, take out your paper, your writing instrument, or whatever the case may be. You may not need to think about any of these questions, but just in case you do, I want you to, whatever question I ask, that is the question that you need to write down if you are not 100% sure about it. Okay? The first one. What does the phrase born again mean? If someone were to ask you, what does born again mean, would you be able to tell them and show them from Scripture? Are you able to lead a person in the sinner's prayer? Are you able to lead a person in the sinner's prayer? What is water baptism and why is it important? These are all fundamentals, ladies and gentlemen. And when people start coming in here, because revival is hit, revival is in full force, we need to be able to answer these questions. We may need to be able to show them from the Bible the answer to these questions. And I don't mean we need to be able to say, hold on, wait a minute. I got my notes back at home. Let me go get my notes, and then I'll give you a call. Ladies and gentlemen, no. We should be able to some level answer these questions in the moment. In the moment. Okay? Why do I need to repent if I sin? If someone asked you that question, would you be able to go to the Bible with, and bring out scripture as to why that person needs to repent if he or she sins? Why do I need a Savior? Why do I need a Savior? People who walk through these doors during the revival, all of them are not going to be born again. Some of them will need a Savior, and they will need to know why they need Jesus. Okay? What is God's grace? What is God's grace? Can a sinner take communion? Can a sinner take communion? Ladies and gentlemen, let me put a qualifier on these questions. Every question that I am asking you tonight, you should already know, because you've been coming to this church, and these are things that have been covered in this church. Okay? Does a Christian need to fast? What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? We're talking about fundamentals in the body of Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? What is Satan's greatest weapon, and why is it effective? What is Satan's greatest weapon, and why is it effective? Is it okay to regularly miss church? Is it okay to regularly miss church? Why is abortion a sin? Why is abortion a sin? Can you take a person and give them scripture, a scriptural answer? Okay? Why is abortion a sin? Why is it wrong for men to marry men and women to marry women? Can you go to the Bible and give them a biblical response for that question? Is hell real? Is heaven real? What instruction does the Bible give to parents about raising their children? What instruction does the Bible give parents about raising their children? I'm going to digress for a moment, because I know one instruction the Bible does not give for parents regarding how to raise their children. When their son or daughter, 4 or 5 years old, comes and says, I feel like a little girl, then the parent says, well, maybe you are. Or let's explore that. 5 years old. You will not find that instruction for raising a child, giving a child a say-so like that. Okay? I remember reading somewhere that the adult mind is not fully developed until around 22, 23, 24. Okay? Can you imagine these parents who are allowing their children to dictate what the parents do? Okay? We're getting close. Are Christians required to tithe? What does the Bible mean when it says we are not under the law? The pastor has a whole series on that one. Matter of fact, he has a whole series on almost everything that I'm talking about tonight. Okay? Why is sex outside of marriage a sin? Can you take someone to Scripture and show them why sex outside of marriage is sin? Okay? Is it possible for a Christian to miss heaven? Is it possible for a Christian to miss heaven? Pastor kind of addressed that one this morning when he talked about the person who sears the conscience and they walk farther and farther and farther away from what the Bible says. Okay? And then my last question for you. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and can you lead a person in it to receive it? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and can you lead a person to receive it? Ladies and gentlemen, these are all things that we must know when people start coming in this church. These are things we need to know. Okay? I would be surprised if the Pew Research Center respondents could answer some or any of these. And they're fundamental questions. Fundamental questions. If the Pew Research Center results are any indication, then the church is in trouble. The church is in trouble. Because this is not what they're hearing. John chapter 2, 2 John. This is not what they're hearing. 2 John verse 4. It says, I rejoice greatly. And we know that this is John writing, but he's writing for God. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. The folks in the Pew Research, they are not hearing this response. I rejoice greatly that I found my children walking in truth. And then in 3 John, verse 4, it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So we need to let our Heavenly Father's declarations be the desire of our hearts. Let's give Him joy by walking in more and more truth. Joy should fill our hearts when we begin to see ourselves not just walking in more and more truth, but walking boldly and lovingly in more and more truth. If you were not able to answer all of these questions with complete confidence, I would encourage you, pick a question that you don't have complete confidence in that you could just flat out do it. Pastor has series. Pastor has messages. The answers are already here for you. And I just encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that God needs us to be ready for the folks who are coming in. He needs us to be ready. And He needs us to be excited about them coming in. Okay? Would you please stand? Our heart's desire should be to our heart beating in rhythm with our Father's heart. And the only way that's going to happen is that we have to spend time with Him, make an appointment, spend time with Him, so that He can look at our hearts and see where we are not in rhythm with Him. And the more time we spend with Him, the more opportunity we're going to have of having that happen in our lives. So I encourage you. The message tonight was not one to be critical. Not at all, ladies and gentlemen. It was just simply a message that says, this is what we need to know before people start coming in. We need to know the answer to these things. And I'm sure each of us have family members have questions like that. We need to be able to answer their questions. and we answer their question in love.